You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
No days off! No days off! No days off! No days off!
This is the Off Day Podcast.
Give me a chest bump!
With Andy Hart.
All right, good to be with you. All right.
This microphone week. Put up a little less fight than the one last night.
And Ryan Hannibal.
What's your name again?
Hannibal.
Hannibal's here.
Oh, Mr. Dot-Commer
on WEEI.com.
Patriots lose to the Bills 38-9, the second worst loss in the Bill Belichick era and the worst loss at home in the Bill Belichick era. So it was not a good night for the Patriots. Andy, what were your first thoughts on the game?
I think you nailed it. It was not a good night for the Patriots in what has not been a good season. I mean, you saw what is now the measuring stick in the AFC East. You saw an MVP caliber quarterback. I thought you saw a well-rounded football team that I got to give John Meter Perel credit. You know, you were actually on with us yesterday on the radio, and he said the Bills were going to be able to name their score and do what they wanted to do. And that was kind of how that game played out. And I know you're undermanned, and I know – first of all, I do want to sort of discount – I don't believe there was an effort issue. I thought the team played hard.
I second that.
You're not good enough. You weren't good enough. And some of the interesting aspects of that to me, or one of the big ones, was J.C. Jackson. You know, no Stephon Gilmore. J.C. Jackson, always a Pro Bowl snub and all this. And then he gets his chance against Stephon Diggs. And Stephon Diggs ends up with three touchdowns. Now, only two of them were against J.C. Jackson. But I think the argument I've had for a year and a half, ever since Pro Football Focus anointed J.C. Jackson like the best corner in football, it's much easier to play alongside a really good corner and, you know, just sort of do your thing. I said to you last night, if Gilmore plays, he's got Diggs. And now all of a sudden, you know, J.C. Jackson's with Cole Beasley or one of those other guys. Oh, he had a great night. Well, yeah, it's easy to be Robin as long as the big bad Batman is sitting next to you, right, or standing in front of you.
This was a discussion in the press box last night, quickly on Jackson. Like, is he a number one cornerback? Like, can you name 31 other cornerbacks better than him? Probably not, but there's a difference between being an elite number one cornerback and just a number one cornerback.
And
that's what Jackson is.
I would agree completely with that. The other aspect of that I would say is, over the years, you know, I'll compare him to Deion Branch. Weird comparison probably, but Deion Branch was traded because was Deion Branch a number one receiver? Probably. Yeah. Was he an elite receiver? No. And he wanted to be paid that elite money. Seahawks willing to do it. Patriots aren't willing to do it. Right. And I think that's where I would put J.C. Jackson, because you start to think about the money. He's got one more year. He's going down the Malcolm Butler road of get the restricted free agent contract, and then do you want to, you know, or even before then you can make a decision, but do you want to give him $70 million, $80 million? Like, the price has gone up.
I would not. No.
I would not either, and I don't think Bill Belichick will, because if he's going to pay that guy like Stephon Gilmore, he expects him to be like Stephon Gilmore.
Correct.
The one thing I will say is I do think J.C. Jackson is more of a – what is now a high-end corner in the NFL. And we have to forget Darrelle Revis and Deion Sanders and shut down. Now, don't get me wrong. He's not as good as Gilmore. And Gilmore's been a lot closer to that in recent years. But I do think when you look around the NFL, elite corners now are – they have their hiccups. They pick off more passes. Like, they're expected to be playmakers. It's sort of a – ball hawking, roll the dice. Yeah, I'm going to give up plays, but I'm going to make more plays. Like a Marcus Peters and some of those guys that every once in a while you watch a game with one of those guys and it's like, he's an elite corner. He makes $80, $90 million. And like, it's just a bad day. And then there's another day where he has two picks, one returned for a touchdown. He had another that was close. And so I think that's where J.C. Jackson is. But the trouble is, even those guys, I mean, Ramsey and Peters and all, they make a crap load of money. So it's interesting because I think, you know, coming down the home stretch of the season and the, forget about the details, but people are starting to think about next year and who's, who are the building blocks you can keep and who would, and I think J.C. Jackson would have been a yes in almost everyone's list. And when you take into account the contract, I don't know if he's a yes long-term in terms of a guy you want to build around.
Speaking of building around, can we finally put to bed Cam Newton is not the guy to build around in 2021?
Well, I don't know if I need to say finally. I decided that a long time ago.
Well, I'm thinking maybe Bill Belichick.
Well, I thought he said it wasn't Cam's fault. He wasn't the problem.
Well, let's get into that. So Cam Newton obviously had another bad performance, 5 for 10, 30-something yards. And then after the game, Bill Belichick said Cam played well. He wasn't the problem.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those where you have to start to question the guy's judgment. If Bill Belichick firmly believes that, I don't think he does.
I don't think he does either, but why is he sticking up for the guy? The guy stunk.
Yeah, I don't really. And he did. He continues to stink. And yes, everybody else stinks too. But he's
your bird dropped. He dropped a pass. He dropped a nice pass. We have to put that out there. He dropped a nice.
And I've said it a million times, the butterfly effect. I guess I don't believe this, but maybe he catches that. It's a touchdown, changes the whole momentum, and maybe the Patriots win this game. Now, I don't think
that at all, but I know.
I don't, but I just want to, you know, be fair. I know Bedard has written some stuff, Greg Bedard over at Boston Sports Journal, about like Bill needs, I don't really even understand it. Bill needs Cam to be like a good recommendation for him around the league because he knows Cam carries weight with players. And Greg has written like he needs Cam to like tell other players, oh yeah, you know, Bill had my back and it was great to be around him.
I mean, Cam admitted after the game, like he basically was asked, like Belichick said you weren't the problem, you played good, like do you agree with that? And Cam's like, no, I don't.
Well, that's because Cam has eyes. He can feel it. He knows it. As he said, you don't get benched if you're having a good day. You don't get like It really is one of the harder things to – I know we've had issues of, you know, what's Belichick thinking? Why does he do this? And, you know, trying to get in his mind, just don't do it. It's not worth it. But, like, he doesn't have to say he's not part of the problem. Like, he doesn't have – I mean, he doesn't have to say he's the problem.
Right.
But he doesn't have to say he's not – like, he almost – like, it devalues his opinion. Like, for whatever reason, he's blinded by something on this. Like,
I would agree. And then do you want to get into Stidham next?
Sure. Yeah, Stidham.
So he goes in the game in the third quarter, and, I mean, he was 4 for 11, 40-something yards, a little bit better than Cam, but, like, I don't think he had that one play that was like, oh, this guy has to start next week. He should have been starting all along. But then in that same, you know, equation, you do have to factor in he wasn't the starter all week. He was playing the scout team. The game plan was probably designed for Cam Newton and not Jarrett Stidham, so I think you have to – be fair to Stidham and give him a full chance to be the starter going into the game to get the full view of what he is.
100%. Now, I do not believe Jarrett Stidham is the guy, the quarterback.
I don't either. I just – what do you like, have to lose?
And I want to give him a fair shot, and it's not a fair – you know, Brian Griese was on this point talking about it. Like, let him be the starting quarterback. Now, I also – one game left, even if he goes out there and shreds the Jets and, like, I don't know what that proves
necessarily. It's going to be a preseason game. The Patriots are going to be missing tons of players. And you saw at the end of the game how many injuries they had. Like, guys, you know, that's human nature. They're not going to be fighting through, you know, injuries to play a Week 17 game against the Jets. So,
right.
It's not going to be a true gauge, but it's better than, you know, just having mop-up duty.
Right. And it's only fair to him. And I know this has become sort of a polarizing issue, and you've dealt with it, and race is involved, I think, sometimes in different things. But until we see Jarrett Stidham actually, like, Cam Newton has now gotten 14 chances, like, to practice, to play, to prepare, to do it all, and Jarrett Stidham has zero. He's never had that opportunity. He tried to tiptoe through a lot of those questions, I thought, last night in terms of, you know, any opportunity I get, whether it's scout team or 7-on-7, I try to make the most of it, and I pride myself in knowing the offense and blah, blah, blah. Like, but it's not the same.
No, and Jed Fisher acknowledged, what it was, 2 or 3 weeks ago, that basically he, the only reps he gets in practice with the scout team.
Right, and that, I mean, that's how it works. That's why.
Right. And I would also have to imagine, like, another, like, Tom Brady last year, Stidham got more looks with the first team because Brady doesn't need practice.
Right.
Cam Newton needs all the practice he can get. So any reps that are going to the first team offense are going to Cam Newton.
Right, and it's not paying off.
No,
it's not. You continue to just, you know, invest in something that doesn't, you know, is a permanent. What was that old movie, The Money Pit, where they bought the house and you just, like, you fix one thing and something else breaks and it's just like you're just pouring the money into one of those money pits. That's, it's not money, it's time. It's that you're pouring into Cam Newton with, I just don't envision it. And I guess it's out the window now, but even recently, I think the whole, you know, lose the locker room and what kind of message does it send? Like, what kind of message does it send when you put a quarterback out there who can't throw the football every week? Like, that's not deflating to receiver. And I'm not saying the receivers are good, but right, when you know your quarterback stinks and you know, again, I don't know where Jared Stidham will do it, but if you're a receiver or a tight end and you're running a route and you are going into your break thinking, when I turn my head, the ball could literally be anywhere. It could be, you know, ankles, one hopper above my, right. Like, that has to have some adverse effect on the receivers, right? Like, not having any confidence that when I turn, the ball is going to be in my catch radius. It's going to be where it should be. So I think we've just tied ourselves in knots in this whole debate as why he's doing it and why he won't put Stidham in. And I think some really dumb arguments have been made, but I think the big picture, if you want to step back for a second, they don't have a quarterback. They need a quarterback. They probably need multiple. Yeah. So that's the, like, forget the minutia of the month of December in the season 2020. They don't have a quarterback for 2021 and beyond. And that's where it starts, but that's not where it finishes. I mean, the Bills are another team you don't match up talent wise. And I don't even think they're not sexy, flashy, talented. They're like a good team.
They have a good collection of good players. And I've used this exercise last night. Just look at the drafts. Look at the Bills' last four drafts. Yep. They've made the most of their drafts, and that's where it starts.
And that's why, you know, as we start to turn the page into the offseason 1 week to go, which I do think there's reason for hope, because Belichick has assets and the ability to do things via the draft.
A lot of cap space. You're going to have a middle first-round pick.
But you're in a tough situation because of what you just said, the drafts. Because N'Keal Harry is not your receiver, you have to think, do I want to go spend $80 million on a receiver?
Because Jawan Williams, second-round cornerback, is not a second-round cornerback, do you need to go add another one?
You know, Devin Asiasi and Dalton Keene have been a disaster as rookies. I'm not willing to say it's over. You know, maybe they'll make the year two jump, have a normal whatever. But at least because of that, you have to consider investing highly in a tight end. Whereas, like, look at a year ago, and I know he was drafted much higher, but like TJ Hawkinson didn't have like a stupid great rookie season, or Noah Fant.
Right.
But they gave you the, I think both of those teams believed, okay, we have our tight end. It's going to, like, he'll get better. Maybe year three is the jump, whatever. I don't know how the Patriots could possibly feel like they have their tight end in Devin Asiasi or Dalton Keene. So you didn't draft a tight end that wows you or is ready to take over. You didn't draft a receiver that wows you or is ready to take over. Defensive players have shown flashes, but there are still questions. It's not, you didn't draft a rookie, you know, all pro, a rookie pro right. bowler, all rookie anything. You know, Duggar, I like. I think Duggar is going to be a building block, but we'll see. I mean, there's going to be growth there.
Pretty much last night, I don't know if that's indicative of the game plan or him or a lot of factors. I don't know. I'm not going
right. to
sell him off for one game, but
no, and I still am hopeful for, but there just aren't a lot of even the young drafted guys from the, you know, Jake Bailey, we joke about it, but it's another night where when I do my thumbs up, thumbs down, Jake Bailey's an easy thumbs up, your pro bowler, your weapon, he's kicking it 60 yards, putting it inside the five. But you know, we've mocked it for so many years, and I keep getting back to this, when Bill starts his Wednesday press conference raving about the other team's punter or special teams unit, you know the other team isn't very good. They're not very talented.
Right.
And I would say if you're talking about the Patriots, one of the things you start raving about first would be Jake Bailey and the special teams. Although the rest of the special teams left something to be desired last night.
Can we get into that? Like, that just continued the trend of, like, weird things that don't usually happen. Like, the fake punt, second week in a row. Obviously, last week's was called back because of a penalty by the Dolphins. But why didn't somebody on the sideline or the field see the alignment and call a timeout? Like, that just doesn't happen to a Patriots team.
Yeah, I don't know. And it is egregious. Now we've talked about, you've lost a lot of coaching in recent years, and there's, you know, a brain drain, or however mm-hmm. you want to channel seven it and make it a headline, but could be something like that, or, you know, they're trying to do something and it's one of those where they catch you trying to do something by doing something themselves. I will also say, I actually had this discussion with the main radio guys I do with, this idea that whether it's the punt, it's the decision not to punt later, the challenge, you know, these things that fall at Belichick's feet, fall at the coaching staff's feet. Are there more of them? Are they worse? You know, the Pat McAfee, has he, quote, checked out?
Yeah.
Because of all the, there's also, in my mind, I wish, I'm not going to do it, so I'm not even going to pretend, but, like, I feel like you could go back to most games over the years, and there were one, two, three of these talking points the next day where you're like, yeah, what do you think of Belichick's decision in the third quarter with X?
But when you win by 17 points, it doesn't matter.
Right. When you go 14-2 or 12-4 and win most games by, you know, with ease, that gets brushed under the rug. It's just like a subplot talking point. When you lost your margin for error, you're not as talented, you don't have a quarterback, you're not making the playoffs, suddenly those become the talking point. They're not brushed under the rug. So I think a little bit more is being made of that and will be made of that than should be. The bigger question is the one, you know, we've had discussed on our airwaves, is Belichick the guy to direct the ship in the right direction, to do the rebuild, to approach what is coming, you know, after one more game? I personally still think he is.
Yeah, my question to that would be, who is the guy then? Who's better?
I got nothing. I know this is not a video podcast, but I'm a Belichick right now. I'm throwing my hands in the air like, what are you asking me? Because I don't know. So I'm still on the Belichick thing. But the job is, it's a big one for a 68-year-old boss in the NFL. Like, it's a, I am hopeful that there's a lot of opportunities in the offseason. But that's not to say, oh, you do a couple things and boom, you're right back competing. Because, again, I think you saw that the divide between you and the Bills and, you know, certainly you and the Chiefs and some of those other talented teams in the AFC, the divide is seemingly growing. And I would say that because they're young players and they're new players, that, like, they're making them, those teams better.
I was gonna say, it's not just about hitting on a couple guys in free agency. It's hitting on all your free agency additions, hitting on the draft, probably making a trade or two. Like, you have to have, you know, 10 things go right, not like three or four.
Yeah, if you're going to make this a quick rebuild, Belichick is going to have, without a doubt, in my opinion, his best offseason. And, I mean, because even if you compare it to, you know, I've sort of said, could it be like 2006 to 2007, where he sees the deficiencies of his team and says, I got to respond to this. I'm going to get receivers. I'm going all in. I have the cap space. But you did that with Brady. You already had the quarterback. You already had the hardest thing to get. So he could have a 2007-like offseason with Adalys Thomas, Randy Moss. He could hit on those, like, hit great players. But if the quarterback is not among those, then it still does. You'll still be chasing in the division. You'll still be chasing in the conference. And then the flip side of that is, other than my question about Brian Daboll, who I think is a huge part of their success offensively, they have to face that challenge. But physically, talent-wise, the Bills, year two under Diggs, Josh Allen settle it. Like, there's no reason to believe, other than the coaching, that they're not going to continue to be good. And I know there's even the talk in Buffalo of adding more weapons or building around him like Mahomes. Like, we have an MVP quarterback. Let's give him what he needs. And so you're chasing that within your division. And I think a lot of people respect Sean McDermott and what the program he's built. So it's not like
the Dolphins are putting together a good program down there. They're getting better.
Yes. So, I mean, there's quite a row to hoe for Bill Belichick.
Quickly, before we wrap this up, I was at the game, so I didn't watch the broadcast. Did ESPN sort of paint Belichick, like, brushing off Josh Allen's season?
Oh, yeah. Multiple times they sort of referenced it in weird ways about,
from, like, a production meeting, like, the way that he gave off the high.
clearly that he gave the indication to them that he wasn't buying the hype, sort of the MVP hype or whatever it is. I don't know how, I mean, they kept kind of insinuating and saying that. I don't know what he exactly said to them.
Right. I kind of get, because he was asked about it after the game and didn't really take the bait, or he basically acknowledged that he thinks Allen's a good quarterback. I wonder if this, I don't know, like I'm reading too much into this, but that he's kind of going to be upset with ESPN and cut off some ties there.
Oh, you're not. I mean, he definitely will be upset with ESPN, 100%. I've been in that position in those production meetings for preseason games where then our, not so much Paul and I, Paul Perillo and myself, but the play-by-play guy, I want to say it was Dan Roach at the time, and maybe Christian Fourier as the color guy, but he was upset that they almost word for word used his words rather than just sort of using it as background information and not tying it to him saying, you know what I mean? And like, he was upset. It was an issue for us back then. And this is even a bigger deal because it's on national TV, ESPN, and he's talking about, you know, a division foe, rising star quarterback who they're saying
he stinks.
Yeah. So I think he's going to be really, really upset. I think he'll also be upset to some degree because Lewis Riddick is his boy, is a guy that played for him, has been very supportive of him, and Josh McDaniels and all that ties over the years. I also thought the ESPN crew struggled a little bit in this game with Lewis Riddick because early on they tried to be, I thought, deferential and positive about the Patriots. And then as the beatdown is coming and then as Cam is pulled, you know, because they were on board. I think Riddick said, you know, Bill Belichick will never give in, and that's why Cam Newton is starting, because he gives them the best chance to win. Well, now a series later, you're having to backtrack because Bill Belichick has yanked Cam Newton for Jarrett Stidham. And it's like, it's one of those things we always talk about. If you have an agenda and you have a story to tell, instead of just giving your honest opinion and watching the game, then you end up in a weird position, tying yourself in pretzels to explain why now something else is happening. And I thought that even my wife said, what are they babbling about? I go, this is what happens to people. When you twist yourself in these pretzels to try to defend points that aren't your own opinion, and like you end up sounding weird and just sort of talking in circles. And I thought there was a little bit of that, but he won't care about that as much as he'll care about them basically quoting him saying Josh Allen isn't that good, is not an MVP candidate.
All right, we're going to wrap this up. We got some press conferences, conference calls to attend to, but we will have a podcast later in the week. That's a promise. I don't know what day it is yet, but we will have one.
You got a mouse in your pocket? Who's we?
Oh, you're not going to do one?
I'm sure we will, because I don't care about New Year's or New Year's Eve the way I do about Christmas and Christmas Eve, so it's not the same holiday.
In these times, yes, it's not the same holiday.
No, not at all. But I'm really looking forward to this Jets game. Should be a fun game. Really excited.
Yeah, you know, I think Jim Nance and Romo might come in town to call it.
You know what the best thing about this Jets game is?
It means nothing. We have like a running clock.
No, Sunday at 1. I don't really care about all the other details.
Yeah, I agree. We got so many updates from the league with, you know, schedule updates week 17. I kept looking. Are they really going to move this to 4 o'clock just to make the windows work?
Monday Night Football blows when your team
sure does.
Like when you're watching a crappy game and you're like, first of all, you knew it was going to be a crappy game. Yes. I didn't think it would be quite as crappy as it was, but it's getting to like 4 in the afternoon. And you're like, this game doesn't start for 4 hours. It doesn't end for 7 hours. Right. Then I got to wait for camp. I will say Bill Belichick came pretty quickly last night too.
Well, it usually happens after losses like that.
Right. Did you happen to see, by the way, him on the Zoom, the meme that's making its way around with the Matt Patricia quote? No. Do me a favor, have a little respect. Sit up and have some respect for the process here.
I didn't notice that. He was very, very, very relaxed.
He was. He was like slouched. I think he had a puffy coat on or something that was still. So Cam was not relaxed, but
no.
I wouldn't be either if my career was going down the crapper.
We'll get into that. Cam Newton's future, Jared Stidham's future. A lot of looking ahead, I would say, in this next podcast that will come later in the week at some point. And
hey, wait a minute, real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
I always like to be balanced and fair. Sony Michel, early on, ran hard. That 20, not the 29-yarder, but the second one, like the 21-yarder, I thought may have been one of the best runs of his Patriots career.
I second that. I was going to mention that at some point when we were talking, but he's running probably the best he's ever had as a Patriot.
Could be desperation because he's like, well, I'm not the starter anymore. If I want to at least stay the backup, I better get my ass in gear, especially with this J.J. Taylor bursting up the middle for 20 after me.
Right. Yes. So we're being fair. That was a positive. Jake Taylor wasn't the only positive in the game.
That's right. That's right.
All right. We'll talk to you later in the week.
Peace out.